Good morning. We're pleased to see this many out. Changing the weather, it brings a little bit of cold and sinuses and all other little types of ailments. So we are glad to see this many out, willing and able to study God's Word. We hope and pray that the things we teach this morning will be beneficial to all. Sometimes, and I debated last night and for quite a while about which lesson I wanted to speak upon. I had about four of them picked out. And two of them dealt with anger, because since we're talking about Saul in Bible class on Sunday morning, I thought about talking about it. But, you know, all the negative things that are going on around about us, we turn the TV on and see everything that has taken place, the floods, the fires, the earthquakes, the tsunami. We talk about the wars that are going on. Maybe it's something that we need to take back and look at the pleasant things that sometimes we take for granted within our lives. Turn with me to Isaiah, the 64th chapter. I'm going to base my lesson upon what is said in verse 11. Isaiah 64. Here Israel was underneath bondage, and the fact that Isaiah was, in the beginning of the chapter, was asking for help. Let's back up to maybe verse 8. But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art our potter. And we are all the work of Thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem is a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up in fire. And all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself from these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? In verse 11 it says, and all our pleasant things are laid to waste. You ever sit back and think that the pleasant things we as Christians enjoy in our everyday life as an individual and also as a member of the body of Christ? I think sometimes we take these things for granted and we don't think about them enough. We sometimes trying to pick out what's wrong instead of what's right or what should be right. We're constantly trying to pick out problems. Things that are difficult to take care of at the time. Turn with me to Psalms 133 and verse 1. One of the pleasant things that we need to take a look at, if we're a true member of the body of Christ, if we're doing God's will in accordance to His gospel, His Word, these are one of the blessings that we need to take and hold, grasp a hold of, and enjoy. Because nobody or anything else has this. In Psalms 133 and verse 1, behold, how good and pleasant it is for the brother to dwell together in unity. Ever think about unity being something pleasant? Isn't it nice to know that when we come together on the Lord's Day or Lord's Day evening or in the middle of the week, we all have something in common. We're all trying to do God's will. We're all striving to get to heaven. We are united. We believe in the same thing. We believe in God. We believe in His Word. And we strive to study. We try to apply it. We strive to do the things together. We don't go by ourselves. We go together. We help one another. We need to understand that. And there's nothing better or more pleasing to us or to God than to have those who are united. They believe in the same thing. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. We should be united. We all have the same mind, or we should. We all have the same word. We should be taking this word and applying it as it is, instead of trying to twist it and cause division. We should be pleasant. We should be tickled to death that we have a unity, that we are striving to do God's will at all times, that we encourage one another to stand up for the truth. And I wouldn't be very happy if I had to live in a home that all the bricks and all the mortar and or blocks where the wood wasn't fitly united. You ever been in a house like that? You ever been in a home where you see holes and it leans and it tilts? I mean, they got every type of angle that you could ever imagine. Had an individual down in Beachbottom when we lived down there, bought a house beside us. And if you looked at that house, there's no way I could have felt safe in it. If you stood out, it leaned like this, and then it had an air angle, and he had so many cans of foam put in the blocks, trying to fill up the hole. I wouldn't have felt very happy about it. Living there. I wouldn't have felt safe. But at the same time, when you got a home that is united, that is firm, it is properly fitted together as it should, don't you feel safer? And that we as Christians should feel the same way. That when we are united in faith, that we are united in the gospel that we teach and believe, and try to carry out and spread to others. Don't you feel safe? Don't you enjoy the unity that you have? In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, tells us the fact that we need to strive for that unity. It is an endeavor that we need to keep. In Ephesians 4, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all, through all, in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure, the gift of Christ. There is only one. We ought to be endeavoring to push for that unity. We should be able to know that we are trying to do God's will together. And we feel a lot safer when those things take place. Philippians, first chapter, and verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Then in the second chapter, and beginning of verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same mind, being of one accord, of one mind. That is something we need to strive for. That is something we need to work on. That is something that is a pleasant thing. Something that we need to enjoy when we do have that unity. That we are together. That we believe the same thing. Philippians 3rd chapter, verse 16. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Isn't it enjoyable to come to church services knowing that we are united in a faith, that we believe in the same gospel, that we have the same Christ that died for every single one of us? Well, I've been in some congregations where you just almost dreaded to walk in that building, because if you said hi, you said it the wrong way, they're there complaining. They're bellyaching. You didn't shake their hand. We are to endeavor to be united. It is a pleasant thing. And when a congregation that is working for that unity, striving for it, it's so much easier to do the will of God. Another thing that we sometimes take for granted, and I try to impress this on my little granddaughter, is trying to gain knowledge, to learn. I'd be tickled to death that you have opportunity to learn something. It makes it so much easier. It makes the school so much more enjoyable. It opens up your mind, your world, to many things. But sometimes I hear about kids, I hate school. I hate the subjects. I hate the teachers. I hate this. I hate that. I get laughed at sometimes when I go down to the store and buy a newspaper, because I don't buy one. I usually buy three, maybe four. And if I got a little extra money, I might buy five. They said, "You like to read?" Yes. I like to read. I like to gain as much knowledge as I can. It's fun. There is so much out there to learn, to help me draw the right conclusions. There is so much in God's Word that we need to be studying. I've had an individual down at work, Banner, young man, he says, "I read the Bible through five times." I said, "Well, fine. That's good. Now, when you go back through it again, study God's Word. Don't read it. Study it. Who is it talking to? What is it talking about? What is going on at the time? Understand it. That's where the enjoyment comes out. Those are the precious things that we need to be grabbing a hold of. It is something that is for all. And there are so much involved within the Scriptures. If you really love gaining knowledge, if you really love to grow, nothing better than sit down and read the Bible and study. Understand what was taking place at that time. Apply it to yourselves. How we are the same as them. We go through the same problems. We go through the same trials. We go through everything as they did. We act like them. Should be an enjoyment. I may dislike English a little bit, so that's why I trip over whether it's me and I or you and I or you and me or whatever. That's fine. I try to do the best I can. I love history. I love geography. I wanted to know as much about the other people. What they do. What are they like? How are we common? There's got to be a common ground somewhere. Proverbs 3rd chapter and verse 17. Let's back up a little bit. It's talking about wisdom. Let's back up to verse 13. Proverbs 3rd chapter. "Happy is a man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. All the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of the days in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is the tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her." Retaineth what? wisdom, knowledge. A lot of us have knowledge, but sometimes we don't know how to use it. And that's where the wisdom comes from. That's where we learn through studying God's Word how we are to handle His Word. What we are to do at the proper time. How do we act towards each other? Ever think about it? It's all here. Everything I need to know is here within the Scriptures. All I got to do is open it, study it, apply it. Not to study to twist it the way you want it, the way God meant for it to be. Knowledge is pleasant to the soul. It should be. Proverbs, the 2nd chapter, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, desecration shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. It will protect us. It will keep us from doing the things that may get us in trouble with the law or with other individuals. It teaches us how we are to behave towards those out in the world, those who are doing wrong. How to control our anger. We talk about Saul after David constantly. He wouldn't let the attributes of the God enter into his soul. He became devoured with that hatred, jealousy. He had a determination to do anything he could to destroy. He was one of the most miserable men alive. When you think about it, the pleasant thing is to study, to understand God's Word. It's a pleasant thing. Turn with me to Proverbs, the 19th chapter. And beginning with verse 8. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. Then drop down to verse 20, the same chapter. Hear a counsel. Receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Learn. Study. Read. Apply it. You don't understand what's in there. We truly don't understand how much enjoyment we can have within our life if we just took God's Word and applied it as it should be. We wouldn't have worries. We wouldn't have our problems that sometimes we face. We'd be able to get along with each other. In the church, out of the church. We'd be able to get along with our families a lot better. Wouldn't be half the problems. If we put our faith in God, if we study His Word, if we do His will. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. And we always understand Corinth had a lot of problems. But part of their problem is because they took the knowledge of man. 3rd chapter, verse 18, 1 Corinthians. Let no man deceive himself. Any man among you seem to be wise in this world. Let him become as a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in his own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in man, for all things are yours. Nice to have knowledge. And I'm not saying it's wrong to read books outside. Take that little bit of knowledge. Apply it. Where's the problem? Why do we have so many difficulties in our life, in the world? If we just open up the Bible, we can find out. Love it. Be happy. You got the opportunity to know what God is thinking, what God is teaching, how much love He had for mankind at times, what He put up with, with mankind. Study it. Wisdom and knowledge, if you have it, is a pleasant thing to have. Another thing we need to find that is pleasant, people. Turn with me to 2 Samuel. And this is David talking. And it's hard for anybody to maybe imagine that David would say this after all the things he went through. In 2 Samuel, the first chapter, verse 23. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. In their death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Huh? Think about it. The man chased after David every opportunity he had. He wanted to kill David. He wanted to put him to death. He is after him. He is on his heel at all times. Downgrading the man. Now, what was said about Saul and Jonathan? They were lovely and pleasant in their lives. Say that anything about anybody? You ever thought about anything like that? Drop down to verse 26, same chapter. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been to me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. They were so tight. They loved each other enough that their relationship was more and stronger than probably any relationship they had with their wives. I taught this a few years ago, and a brother tried to tell me I'm teaching that we need to be gay. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about we need to care about one another, that I'm so concerned that every time you have sorrow in your life, I ought to be crying beside you. I should be there. Every time you are happy, I should be rejoicing with you. Everything that goes your way, I should be there helping you. No. That's not the way we do things. We rarely sat there and complain because somebody enjoys or something happened good in their lives. We'll bellyache about it. We'll cry. We'll try to bring them down. It's wrong. Why don't we have the same love that Jonathan and David had at that time? Where are we? What's the problem? These things should be pleasant. And if you do have that relationship, it is a pleasant thing. It's an enjoyment. But sometimes we don't express that. We rather look down our noses and condemn. Why? If anybody had any complaints, couldn't it have been David against Saul? He bragged. He talked about how pleasant they were. They're united. They cared. As we see in the chapter we just got finished talking about this morning, you'll find out David, when he cut off the piece of that rope, felt so guilty about it. Just cutting a rope. He felt bad. Are we there for each other? That's why our life is miserable. We need to be present. We need to be there for one another. We should be so close. Our family as a Christian should be more closely tied, united, there for one another than our personal family, physical family. We're not. And we need to correct it. And we can get along with people. Yes, we can enjoy them. And if we're doing the right thing, we can get along with people out in the world. Why don't we? Why can't we? Because I don't have the knowledge and wisdom I said we should be enjoying. These are pleasant things that can make our life easier. Likewise, when we talk about the pleasant things, we talk about the singing of songs, hymns, spiritual songs. Turn with me to Psalms 135. Psalms 135, verse 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to His name, for it is pleasant. Every last Wednesday of the month, we have song service. Well, we tickle to death, we get to sing songs to praise God. There's a misery. David says it's a pleasure. Think about the words of the song as you sing them. Thank you, Lord, for the things you have. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for the friends we have. Thank you for your gospel that's been given to us so we can be united. These are pleasant things we should be enjoying in our everyday life. Psalms 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing the praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Think about it. When we sing praises to God, do we mean it? Are we tickled to death that the blessings He has given to us this day, both physically and spiritually, which we enjoy? Thank you, Lord. I got a life to live. Thank you for my house. Thank you for the food I got. Thank you for the friends, the fellowship I have with other Christians to worship Thee. If you don't enjoy it now, you're not going to enjoy it in heaven. If you don't enjoy it now, you ain't getting to heaven. Excuse my English. Shouldn't use the word ain't. But you're not getting there. Let's be plain. Let's be simple. You're not getting to heaven unless you enjoy singing praises to God. It is a way of teaching. It is a way to encourage one another to do what's right. Another thing we need to be pleasant, and our pleasant things, is in the book of Proverbs, the 15th chapter. Are the pure words. 15th chapter, verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. Likewise, in Proverbs, the 16th chapter, and verse 24, pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bone. That there is a way that seemeth right to the man, but the end thereof are the ways of flesh. We should be tickled to death that we have the pure word. 40 men wrote the gospel. There's not a contradiction anywhere. You can't get Congress to sit down together and come up with a health plan. They're at each other's throats. They can't agree to extend unemployment. They can't get along. Even in the Senate, there's only 100. You can't get them to sit down and discuss anything without trying to tear each other apart. These words are pure. They unite. They're one. Enjoy it. You ever think about a little child? They're pleasant. When we had our kids, I enjoyed them, tried to be with them, tried to be there at all times when I could. And sometimes they disgust me. Sometimes they aggravate me. Even to this day. Think about it. Isn't there anything more enjoyable than having a child? Having a little one? Enjoying them? Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, verse 20. Ephraim, my dear son, is he a pleasant child? For since I spake unto him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore, my bowels are troubled with him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. God at this time was concerned about the tribe of Ephraim. He spoke of that tribe as being his dear son. Asked if he is a pleasant child? Are they being obedient? Can I praise him? Are they pleasant to me? You know, you're a child of God. We all are. Galatians, 3rd chapter, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If we become obedient to God's will, we are the children of God. Can God say He is present with me? Does He enjoy me as I would my own child? I enjoy my grandchildren. I try to spend time with them when I can. I enjoy their company. But you got those that hate kids. They despise them. How many times you'd have picked up the paper or turned on the TV where a child's been abused? Downgraded. They're precious. They're a gift of God. Enjoy them while you can. While you have the opportunity. They're blessed. They're a physical and spiritual blessings that we sometimes neglect to look at. Seeing the trees out here, I never understood. And as growing up, my dad would take us for long drives. We'd look at the trees when they changed colors. They were beautiful. I went to college down in Florida. I waited for this time of year. Where's the leaves? They're not changing. They're green all the time. Where's all the colors I'm used to? I missed it. I didn't realize how much I missed those colors until I went down there. And sometimes we don't realize what we have around us until our child is gone. God cries. He weeps when one of us falls away. He's upset. Concern. We should be likewise to our children. I'm going to ask the kids according to Ephesians the 6th chapter verse 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, for this is the commandment with promise. What promise? You'll live long. If you do everything, as long as they're telling you in accordance to God's Word, if you do the things that your parents ask you to do, guidance, you will live a long life. You won't have the suffering. You won't have the pain. You won't have the agony that a lot of people have today in their lives. If we just do what the Scriptures teach us. I don't have time for Johnny or little Susie. I don't have time to sit there and talk to them about God. I don't have time. I'm busy. I got to get this done. I got to get... Enjoy Him. Because it may be a time when you want to. You can't. Or they won't. Please think about these things. These are pleasant things we need to do. I got other things that I could talk about this morning. I'll drop it right here. But the fact is, these are pleasant things. These are things we should be enjoying as Christians. Are we? If our life is miserable, if we're having a lot of problems, somewhere along the line, we didn't enjoy what God has given us. Think about those things. Please. Your soul rests upon what you do. Invitation Psalms 268. Heart to gentle voice. And that's what we're pleading with you today. Heart to His voice. He's crying for you. He's knocking at that door. He's pleading with you to come. Become obedient. Become part of His children. Be a child of God. Enjoy the wisdom and the knowledge He's trying to give unto us. Enjoy your life. Your children. We should be able to enjoy these things that we have. But we don't. We complain. We bellyache. We murmur. If a true Christian, you don't have that. You express the enjoyment. You take advantage of every opportunity you have to do what God wants you to do. I'm asking you. You have the opportunity to become a child of God. You heard His word. You must believe it. He came down here and lived upon this earth. Died upon that cross. And rose again. Must be willing to repent. Be willing to change your life and live for Him and not for ourselves. Mouth confession. That He is the Son of God. That He can confess us before His Father. Be baptized by immersion. Buried with Him. Risen up as a new creature. We become children of God. That's just one final step that we fail to realize a lot of times. We gotta live faithfully until death. As I'm dying, I gotta live faithfully to God. Do His will. Well, I don't get in. And there may be some here this morning that has done these things. Have fallen away. Brought reproach upon themselves, upon God. You think about the destiny of your soul. It needs to be saved too. We go to God in prayer, ask for forgiveness of your sin. What are you going to do? Are you going to heart the gentle voice? Are you going to slam the door in His face and say, forget it? Your soul, your destiny. You think about these things. As we stand to sing the song, Invitation.